We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, everyone that's perhaps tuning in for the first time, and you have like no idea who we are. We're Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, and my name is Chris Fluitt. Hi, nice to meet you. We love this live streaming. We love this podcast, and what makes it so good is when we interact with you. So please push those like buttons. Please leave some comments. If you are tuning in for the first time, tell us where you're tuning in from. We want to meet you. We want to know where the gospel is being sent. Everyone, please let us know if you have any prayer requests, any prayer needs, or any praise reports. We have some contact information they're going to throw up on the screen. 469-467-8111. That's our phone number. info@redemption-church.com. That's our email. And then, of course, look us up at facebook.com/myredemption. All right? Stay in touch with us. We care. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. You can just get that picture right there. Verse 18, one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" Everybody knows what's going on. "What things?" says Jesus. Funny Jesus. "What things? I've not heard of such things." And the answer came back, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they applied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place." Verse 22, "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find Jesus' body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?'" Verse 24, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And they approached, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further." You get that picture? So they've found their spot. They're going to stop, and Jesus is going to walk along past them. "But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them," now this is Jesus we're talking about, "he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." Verse 32, "They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen.'" I want to show you three very sad words. To my knowledge, these are the saddest words in all the Bible. "We had hoped." It's right there in verse 21. Luke 24, verse 21. "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." I want to talk to you about losing hope today. Right in the middle of the resurrection story, the most hope-filled story there ever could be, right in the middle of this great, awesome, joyful story, is one of the saddest phrases ever. And two of the saddest disciples ever. They had completely lost all hope. They said, we had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one to redeem us and all of Israel. At one time, they had hope. Now, they lost all hope because Jesus, the one who gave us hope, was gone. I want to tell you something. When you lose the source of your hope, you lose your hope. Your hope comes from something. And so when you lose the source of your hope, you actually lose your hope. Are you losing hope? Would you say that about yourself? Yeah, I'm kind of losing hope, Pastor. Yeah, I'm kind of losing it. Well, let me ask you, what is the source of your hope and how have you lost it? What have you lost? I know some of you are really struggling with this COVID quarantine. I get it. I'm there with you. I get it. Maybe you lost your job or hours at your job. Maybe you have less money coming in. Well, let me ask you, was your job, were your dollar bills, was that the source of your hope? It could be that your health is suffering and you're very fearful about this virus. Well, let me ask you, is your health, is your strength, is it the source of your hope? You could be feeling isolated and lonely, cut off from relationships. Well, let me ask you, was that the source of your hope? You see, when you lose the source of your hope, that's when you lose hope. So I got to ask you today, when was the last time you thought about the source of your hope? These two disciples were walking away from Jerusalem. They were walking away from the scene of this tragedy and their greatest failure. They were walking away without any hope. But I want to tell you today, Jesus is our living hope. Right there in the room, say those two words, living hope. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we have what kind of hope? A living hope. So as these two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, 7-hour trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus, who started walking behind them? Who started hearing them talk? It was a very alive Jesus. Where? Right here. And soon enough, he was right here. And soon enough, they were like right here talking to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the source of living hope, was with these two disciples who had lost all of their hope. I want you to understand the mindset, the perception of these two disciples, and then I want you to realize the reality. Can you say perception and reality? Say it. The perception was that Jesus was dead and in a tomb. That's what they perceived. But what was the reality? The reality was that Jesus was alive. The perception was that he was gone forever, and all the promises and all the miracles, they were gone forever. We would never see them again. That was the perception. But the reality was that Jesus was right beside them, a living miracle right there. The perception was that Jesus was wrong because he died. He obviously didn't know what he was talking about. But the reality was that everything Jesus said was true. He was the Messiah. He is the one who would redeem Israel. He wasn't wrong at all. The perception was that we were cowards, we disciples running away. We were failures. We failed him. and we are now full of shame. That's the perception. The reality was that Jesus loved them, that Jesus was there to seek them out, even though they had failed. God's love never fails. That is the reality. They were forgiven, and he had plans for them. The perception was, we need to get out of Jerusalem. The reality is that same Jesus is going to say, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry there because I'm going to give you power from on high, the power of the Holy Ghost. Perception, it can rob you of reality. Most of your relationship problems aren't a reality problem. They're a perception problem. Most of your arguments are perception based. Perception can cloud your vision so you no longer see what is true. Some of you have a perception, people hate me. People just don't like me. And it's not even true, but that's your perception. So guess what? You think it, and then it becomes your reality. Perception can cloud your reality. You can be walking right beside a resurrected Jesus. You can be talking with a resurrected Jesus, and your perception can hide the fact that the miracle has happened and that hope is still alive. Perception can rob you, just like it was robbing those two disciples. I want to tell you, the reality is Jesus is alive. That is not the perception, folks. That is the reality. I want to tell you that your provider is alive. Your protector is alive. Your peace is alive. Your healer is alive. Your future is alive. Your deliverance is alive. Your redeemer is alive. Your forgiveness is alive. Your promise is alive. Your defender is alive. Whatever you need, it's still alive because Jesus Christ is alive. That is the reality. Wherever you are, you ought to smash the like button. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to thank the Lord. That is the reality. So stop letting the perception rob you of the reality. Hope is present. Hope is present. They're walking. They're saying, we had hoped. Hope is present. It's named Jesus. Hope is a name. It's Jesus. He's walking right there. But I want to tell you, you need hope. You need more than hope present, because Jesus was present and they still had no hope. They needed hope to be revealed. Say that word, revealed. We need a revelation. We need more than what our eyeballs can take in and our brain can understand. We need the Spirit of God to come to us and give us a brand new revelation and open up our eyes so that we can truly see. Somebody say these two words, hope revealed. Hope revealed. Jesus had spent much of his resurrection day with these two disciples. You realize that? When we think about his resurrection day, he's spending most of it with these two guys, Cleopas and some other guy that's not named. That's where he is, walking with them. He walked with them, he talked with them, he expounded scripture to them. And then he was going to walk past them. They said, oh, no, please stay with us. And now he's at their destination with them, and he was staying with them, and now he's at a table with them. And all this time, they don't see it's Jesus. All this time, they don't recognize hope. Luke chapter 24, verse 30, 31. Look back at this. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it, and he began to give it to them. I don't know why this is the moment. Maybe it's because they saw Jesus feeding the 5,000, and he blessed the bread. He broke it. He gave it. Maybe they saw the nail pierces in his hands. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. It was more than just visual, physical, mental understanding. The Lord revealed himself to them, and that's when their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then also, guess what? He disappeared from their sight. He was there no more. Their eyes were open and they recognized. I believe more that they saw more than just with their physical eyes. I believe they received a spiritual revelation of the Spirit. I believe that they had a God moment. Do you know what it's like to have a God moment? We need to have a God moment today. Now, I've gone through struggles. I've gone through times where I lost all hope. Absolutely. But Jesus, he revealed himself to me. And then I recognized, wait a second. He was with me the whole time. Wait a second. This struggle I was going through, it was actually God at work. You see, I thought this was bad stuff, but God was taking the bad stuff and making it really good stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You're walking along with no hope, but and you're like, God, where are you? And he's actually walking right behind you. He's actually coming up. He's actually having conversations with you. He's actually putting people in your life. You're actually hearing the word of God. You're actually receiving encouragement, but you don't recognize it until the Spirit reveals it to you. Then your eyes are open. And then you recognize it. I want to tell you today, some of you are looking for hope. Hope's right behind you. Hope's walking right beside you. Hope's trying to talk to you. But you won't ever realize it until the Spirit of God reveals it to you. And my prayer for you right now is, as I'm talking, is that the Holy Spirit would help reveal hope to you right now. Are you walking from Jerusalem today? Is there heartache and failure behind you? Is there a disappointment and struggle behind you? Stop for a moment and allow God to open your eyes and reveal to you the reality. The reality is Jesus is alive. Jesus is with you. Jesus loves you. And he's got a plan and a future for you. I want to remind you, when you lose the source of your hope, that's when you lose your hope. But we have a living hope. Jesus is a living hope. I want to tell you today, if your hope is a living hope, then you'll never lose your hope. Because you'll never lose Jesus. See, they thought they lost Jesus. They thought they lost Jesus, then they tried to go get lost. But you can't get lost from Jesus. He knows right where you are on your road to Emmaus. He knows right where you are right now. And I want you to feel his presence. I want you to know that he's with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, "Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." I want to tell you, you can't lose Jesus. You can't lose him to death. You can't lose him to hell. You can't lose him to the grave. He defeated all those three things. What can separate you from the love of God? Can you do anything that will cause you to lose Jesus? No. Absolutely not. He says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He is with us. Amen. If your hope is in Jesus, it's a living hope. Can never perish, spoil, or fade. Have you ever allowed all your hope to be in Jesus Christ? Have you ever done that? Maybe it's been too long since you put all your hope in Jesus. If you've been feeling really shaky in your faith, if you've been feeling really fearful, worried about your job, worried about your kids, worried about your finances, worried about your car, worried about the government, worried about the world, worried about your neighbor, worried about whatever. I want to encourage you today. Take your hope from being in those things. They aren't the source. Put all of your hope in Jesus Christ. Over the next few moments, we're going to be singing a song. I want you to sing it with us, and I want you to talk to the Lord. I want you to ask the Lord, "God, be my hope. Lord Jesus, you're with me. I haven't realized it, but God, I believe you're with me right now, and I want you to talk to me. I want you to speak to me. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, begin to talk to God wherever you are. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask you to be with us, be in all of our homes, be in all of our apartments, wherever we're watching this. Lord, wherever we're listening to this, God, you are there and you are a living hope. God, come and speak to us. Come and lead us. Come and minister to us, God. Come reveal yourself to us. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us, God, for putting our hope in something else. You are our hope, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's talk to God in this house. He's with us. He's never left us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.